All right, so get this. The global cannabis market is booming like billions of dollars, and it's only getting bigger. But there's this one country with a super long history with the plant that's kind of stuck watching from the sidelines. India. So today we're going deep into this paradox. How can a place where cannabis is basically woven into the culture be missing out on this huge economic wave? To understand that, we got to go way back, like thousands of years back.
It really is remarkable how deep cannabis is in Indian history and tradition. Ayurveda, India's ancient system of medicine, well, even they saw cannabis as one of five sacred plants, and it's mentioned in the Atharva Veda, one of their most important religious texts.
Wow, so this isn't just some casual thing, it's literally sacred. That makes those modern restrictions even more interesting. I'm picturing ancient rituals where they like lighting up in temples.
Well, not quite lighting up like you might think today. Think more like bang. It's a drink traditionally made with cannabis leaves, and it's been around for centuries, especially during festivals like Holi and Mahashivaratri. It's even associated with Lord Shiva, a major deity in Hinduism.
Okay, so bhang is like the original way to experience cannabis in India, and it's still tied to these massive cultural events. That's pretty wild. But somewhere things changed, right? Didn't the British Empire have something to do with it?
Yeah, the British colonial period is definitely a turning point. They were pretty curious and maybe a bit apprehensive about all the cannabis use they saw. In fact, they commissioned this massive study, the Indian Hemp Drugs Commission. It ran from 1893 to 1894.
Hold on, 1893? That's over a century ago. Were they already talking about legalization back then?
Not really legalization, but what they found was surprising. They concluded that moderate cannabis use wasn't harmful to society. This was when lots of negative ideas about cannabis were starting in the West.
That's crazy. Here we are, over 100 years later, still asking those same questions about harm and regulations. So if they found it wasn't a problem, how did India end up with the restrictions it has today?
That's where things get complicated. The commission didn't say to ban it, but things were changing globally. There was more international pressure, and that affected how countries, including India, saw and regulated cannabis.
So even though India's own research said moderate use wasn't a big deal, they started cracking down anyway. It seems like outside pressure really forced their hand.
You could say that. And that shift eventually led to the NDPS Act, the Narcotic Drugs and Psychotropic Substances Act. It started in 1985.
Ah, the NDPS Act. That's the big one everyone talks about. It seems pretty strict from what I've read. Can you break it down? What does it actually outlaw?
The NDPS Act basically banned the resin and flowers of the cannabis plant, what's called kharas and ganja in India. But, and this is important, it allowed bhang to be used in a regulated way.
Right.
Remember, bhang is made from the leaves, and those weren't seen as narcotics under the act.
Okay, so it's like you can have your traditional bhang, but forget those other types of cannabis. That must have been a huge change for a lot of people. I'm curious though, is everyone in India actually following this law? What's it really like?
It's a good question, and it's kind of a paradox. I mean, the NDPS Act is the law, but cannabis is still used pretty commonly. And it's not just the bhang. There are places where authorities kind of look the other way about other types of cannabis, and some states are even trying out medical cannabis programs and growing hemp.
Really? So even with the strict law, there's still some flexibility. It seems like what actually happens doesn't always match the law. What's causing that? Is it just not enough resources to enforce it, or is there something more like a cultural acceptance of cannabis that just won't go away?
I think it's a bunch of things together. It's true that law enforcement resources can be stretched thin, especially out in the country where growing cannabis might be a way of life. But you're also right about the culture. There's a long history of using it, especially for medicine, and that still affects how people see it. And then there's the money. In some places, growing cannabis is how people make a living, even if it's technically illegal.
That makes sense. It's like the law is trying to make things one way, but the culture and the economy on the ground are pushing back. It sounds like a perfect situation for a pretty big black market, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. The illegal market for cannabis in India is huge. And that comes with its own problems, smuggling, organized crime, and no quality control. It kind of shows you that making something illegal doesn't mean people stop using it. It just means it goes underground where it's harder to control.
So there's this complex history. A law that isn't always followed, and a big black market. It sounds like India has a real cannabis problem. But here's what I don't get while this is all going on. The global cannabis industry is blowing up. Countries are making tons of money from legal cannabis, and India, with its long history and all that potential to grow it, is kind of just watching.
Yeah, that's the big question people are asking now. Should India rethink how it deals with cannabis, especially with all the economic opportunities out there?
It's kind of crazy when you think about it. We've talked about ancient traditions, colonial times, and all these legal issues, but there's this huge economic opportunity that India seems to be missing out on. So let's get into that. What are the good things that could happen if India jumped into this green rush?
The potential benefits are big. Let's start with the money. Legalizing and regulating cannabis could create a lot of jobs, from growing and processing it to selling it, and even tourism. Think about it. India's got great conditions for growing in many areas, lots of people, and a worldwide reputation for good quality cannabis, especially those famous strains from the Himalayas.
Yeah, I've heard about those Himalayan strains. They're legendary. But it's not just about growing and selling it, right? There's the medical side, too. Is India looking into those possibilities?
Definitely. There's more and more scientific research showing how cannabis could be used as medicine for things like chronic pain, epilepsy, anxiety, and some mental health issues. India could be a leader in researching and developing medical cannabis, bringing in investment and making new treatments for patients.
Okay, so there's the potential for a better economy, more jobs, medical breakthroughs. It's pretty convincing. But I'm sure some people are worried about legalization. What are the arguments against it?
Well, like with any big change, there are valid concerns. Some people say that legalizing it could lead to more people using it and getting addicted, especially young people. Others worry about what it could mean for public health and safety, like people driving while high or more accidents. And of course, there are cultural and social things to think about. Cannabis still has a bad reputation in parts of India, and some people are afraid that legalizing it would go against traditional values.
It's a tough choice, isn't it? Weighing the good things against the bad. It's not just as easy as saying legalize it and everything is fixed. But wait, didn't you say earlier that some states in India are already trying different things?
That's right. Uttarakhand and Madhya Pradesh, for example, have made it legal to grow industrial hemp. That's a type of cannabis that doesn't have much THC, the stuff that makes people high. It's mostly used for its fiber and seeds, which can be used for a lot of things like textiles, construction materials, bioplastics, and even food.
Interesting. So they're kind of testing the waters with cannabis, but sticking to the stuff that doesn't get you high for now. It seems like a careful first step. But I'm curious what's happened since they legalized hemp. Has it been successful?
It's still early, but there are good signs. In Uttarakhand, for example, growing hemp has really helped farmers who were struggling. It's a tough crop that can grow in difficult conditions, and the demand for hemp products is going up fast. There are also new businesses popping up, creating jobs and helping the economy in rural areas.
That's really cool. It sounds like hemp is giving a real economic boost to some of these areas, but it's just one part of the whole picture, right? It doesn't answer the question about recreational cannabis or a fully legal market. So what happens next for India? Is full legalization even a possibility?
Yeah, it's tough to say for sure. India and cannabis is so complicated. You've got this ancient history of spiritual and medicinal use, but then also decades of it being illegal and a big stigma in some places. It's like they're caught between tradition and this global green rush.
It's really interesting. Full legalization would be a huge change for India, and it would come with a whole new set of challenges and things to think about.
Okay, so let's say India does go all in on legal cannabis. What would that even look like? Are we talking like Amsterdam with coffee shops or something totally different?
I don't think India would just copy Amsterdam. They'd have to figure out a system that works for their culture and addresses those worries we talked about, like keeping it away from kids and making sure people use it responsibly. Right? It can't just be a free-for-all. They'd need rules, age limits, all that. But even then, some people would still be worried about how it would change things socially. Would legal cannabis change India's culture too much?
That's a good point, and it's something that people making decisions would have to think about carefully. It's about finding a balance, right? Mm-hmm. How do you use the economic potential of cannabis, but still respect what's important culturally and deal with the risks?
It's such a complex issue, but it feels like India has a big decision to make. They can keep things the way they are, which honestly isn't working that great, or they can go for it and maybe become a major player in this whole industry.
Exactly. And that decision affects more than just the economy. Think about how the world would see India if they were leading the way in cannabis research, growing it, and even tourism. It could change how people think about the country and its place in the world.
Okay, let's come back down to earth for a minute. We've covered so much in this deep dive, from ancient texts to modern day black markets. What for you is the biggest thing you take away from all of this?
For me, it's how strong cannabis is in Indian culture. It's been illegal for decades, but it's still a big part of certain traditions, spiritual practices, and even local economies. It just shows you how important this plant has always been in this part of the world.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it makes you wonder, what's next for cannabis in India? Will they go for the economic benefits? Will they figure out how to balance tradition and progress?
That's the big question. And it's one that I hope our listeners think about. What would happen to India's culture and society if they made cannabis legal? how would it change how the world sees them? These are big and really interesting questions with no easy answers.
Wow, so much to think about. We've just scratched the surface here, but hopefully this deep dive has given you a new way of looking at cannabis in India. It's a story about ancient traditions changing attitudes and a country figuring out what to do with a plant that's been part of their identity for thousands of years.
And that story's still going.
Exactly. And who knows what will happen next. Thanks for coming with us on this incredible journey, and until next time, keep those minds curious.